WXOJ is supported by the People's Music Network for Songs of Freedom and Struggle. PMN is a national network of people who use music, dance, storytelling, and poetry to promote progressive ideas and transform ourselves and our communities through music to bring about a better world. Find out more at www.peoplesmusic.org.
And I have a recorder. Tune in Wednesdays from 4 to 5 to Out There. We'll meet people and plants around the streets and paths of Northampton, and we'll think about ways we can share the world. Here on Valley Free Radio, or archived online at weatherbeer.com/out there. Get out if you can. But if you can't get out, tune in. We don't care if they live out of. Let it take a bus and need a sickle for love. They can have the Cadillac. So thanks for tuning in to Out There today. It is Wednesday, December 7th, and I'm live in the studio with Alex Jarrett. Say hi, Alex.
Hello.
Alex and I will be talking later. Alex is my friend, housemate, and former partner and co-worker, co-homeowner. We're going to be talking about breaking up, which we did 5 years ago after like 10 years of being partners. And also Alex is going to have play some music. But for the first part of the show, I've got a story from my housemate Pablo. It's like an 8 minute long clip talking about an unexpected passenger he had when he was riding the bike and trailer a few days ago on his way going from Florence to Hadley.
Yeah, it was just, I'd just seen you guys.
So you were biking down the bike path with a little trailer with one tub in it.
Right. And you see this guy and don't think too much. I see him in his costume and I think
it's like around Hatfield or North Elm. The crossing closest to Cooley Dickinson Hospital.
Oh really? Right. Oh, that's why. Okay. Yeah.
So you see this guy and then
so I see this guy and he's walking in our direction.
Uh-huh. And he's wearing
this white, blanket, which looks like a Jesus
robe,
whatever. And he's got this haircut, and he's got a beard, and he looks at me. We just cross sight, and I have to stop because of the street. But I notice that he turns around and starts running after me as I start riding again. He jumps in the trailer. And I start laughing. I'm like, what, you need a ride? And he's like, yeah, UMass Amherst, please. So, yeah. And then he asked me, do you do this often? And I was like, actually, no. But it would be fun. If you need to ride, I can give you a ride.
Okay, so there's a little break in the story here. And then Pablo talks about how, so he's giving this guy a ride down the bike path, and then they get close to the King Street crossing, and then he continues again. Let's see, he went into Taco Bell.
So wait, the first thing that happened.
Oh, yeah, so he jumps in, I cross the street, and on the other side of the street.
Of King Street.
It's King Street. This Sharon with her stick is walking.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. Did you see her?
I've seen her.
I saw her, yeah.
Okay. So I stopped to ask her, yeah, hey, what about this? Like, she wanted to send me an email about the drum session, whatever. And she's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to send you an email. And she sees the guy sitting in the trailer.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, oh, yeah, I was worried about you. And I was like, why was she worried about it? I don't think much about it. Okay, but at Taco Bell, I noticed this guy actually escaped from somewhere. He's wearing these, like, hospital clothes, no shoes, just
and it's like 35, 40 degrees out.
Right, and he's freezing, and
he's
scared that I'm and the moment that he notices that I kind of found out that he wasn't just a fun guy, but somebody who escaped somewhere, he gets scared and he goes into that Taco Bell. And I was like, well, I didn't want to scare him. Like, I want to help him if I can. Like, I'm sure at Taco Bell they can't help him. They probably kick him out at some point. So I wait. I wait till he gets out, and I call him. I knew his name. Like, I had asked him for his name before. So I said, Jacob, I can help you. Like, I can bring you there, and if you want,
because he said he wanted to go to US.
Yeah. Like, but I can, like, you don't have to be scared. Like, I will not. Oh, at this moment, a fire car comes, like, with the sirens on. Mm-hmm. So, well, let's get out of here.
You said that, or he said that?
He got scared, like, with the sirens and stuff. Yeah. I said, hey, I'm not going to tell anybody or, like, bring you anywhere. I'm not going to, report you or anything. If I can, I help you, but you have to tell me, like, what's going on. Like, and he's like, well, yeah, I was in this hospital. Well, the police brought me to the hospital because I was in somebody's room staring at somebody sleeping, and I don't know why that is a reason to bring me to the to lock me up, whatever. And so
that happened to my mom at UMass.
Yeah. And I thought, well, it sounds creepy to me. Like, probably, like, I agree, it's not a reason to lock you up if you were just staring and had no bad intentions or whatever. Right? So I'm like, okay, I don't care. Like, it doesn't matter. But should we call somebody, or you want to call? Like, what's your plan? Like, you really want to go to UMass the way you look now, or you want to get clothes somewhere, or you want to go back to the hospital? You want to call your parents? No, I gotta go back to school. I just have to go back to school.
As a student.
As a student, yeah. He studies humanities and something art. Yeah.
And so?
So I was like, okay, if that's what you want, I can bring you not quite to your university, but I can bring you to Hadley, to the Aldi. Maybe get you. Yeah. Get you some food or whatever.
So you kept
he kept riding with me.
He helped you carry the trailer across the tracks on his bare feet.
Oh yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. He did that exactly. He helped me with that, and then we kept riding. He was like bending down in the trailer and covering himself with this blanket.
Uh-huh.
So he sounded like, "Okay, you're freezing." I gave him like my gloves, the scarf, and. Yeah, at some point he was warmer, so he sticked his head out and started like telling me a bit like about what I don't know. Like I asked him like if he was doing drugs and if that might have been like a condition that has brought into this situation. If he considers to stop doing that or whatever. Yeah, I'm just smoking pot, and then yeah. I kept talking, like I was telling him about my story a bit, and hopefully give him a bit of an example. And then he was like, yeah, Teddy's talking about bike riding, and he said he had done this bike ride in the summer for 4 weeks in Europe, like his parents paid for, from Amsterdam to Barcelona.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yeah, so he was really excited about like being outside. He said he loved when at one point we smelled fire. Like some wood fire.
Uh-huh.
I was like, oh, I love to make fires in the woods and camping and biking. Biking is the best way to get around to see the world.
Become your friend.
Yeah, honestly. And I was asking him about this tour that he did in Europe. He's like, yeah, man, we should do it. Like anytime you want to do it, we do it together. So, yeah. That's good. So, and then at the Aldi, he said, oh, I actually know this place. There's a bus here. So I gave him money for the bus, but I asked back for the gloves.
Thank you.
And I guess, I hope he took a bus and just went back. And he said it was fine. Like, he didn't want to call anybody, and he didn't want to go anywhere else. Like, that was his plan.
That's cool.
He's like, yeah, I'll give you my number. Give me a shot.
Oh.
Yeah, he was confused. But at first, really, I thought he was just a fun guy, you know, like, that was actually making fun of me, you know, like the guy that wanted to throw the garbage.
Yeah.
the cop in the trailer the other day?
Yeah.
It's one of those guys. You know, right? Nothing to do. It's a sunny day. He's walking around in his Jesus costume. And he sees me and thinks I'm a good guy to make fun of and jump in my trailer, you know, and go for a ride. Yeah.
So that was a story from my housemate, Pablo. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. Alex Jarrett is here in the studio with me today. Thanks for coming in, Alex.
Yeah, hey, Ruthie.
We're going to talk about relationships. Alex and I have known each other for 16 years, something like that.
2000, I think, since 2000.
And we've been partners for 10 of those years and housemates for 14 of those years. Alex, I didn't really ask you how you wanted to be introduced, but you're also co-founder of Pedal People with me and a co-homeowner.
That was our baby.
That was our baby. We had it in 2002, and I was 14 years old as of December, as of last week. What else? Would you like to say anything else about yourself and your involvement in the community? Or?
No. We'll learn as we go.
Okay, Alex also has a ukulele in his hand. He's going to play a little bit of music. Oh, do you want to play a song right now?
Sure.
This is a song. Yeah, can you introduce the song, please?
Sure. This is a song called The Magnet Song. It's one of the few songs I've written with words, and I co-wrote it with my friend Oliver Brown. And it's about someone who swallows a magnet and then... I don't want to give
just
too much
it.
Away. Yeah, I'll just sing it, but it's definitely about relationships. I ate a magnet yesterday. Now metal stuff sticks to me. I am attracted to people wearing jewelry. My stomach's magnetic, but not my personality. You ate a magnet too. But there's a stupid catch. Our poles don't match. When I try to hug you, it brings me down. Pushes me away from you. Turns me all the way around. But at least we can't spoon. You ate a magnet too.
Alex, that's The Magnet Song, written by Alex Jarrett and Oliver Brown. So, do you want to say anything more about that song?
You know, sometimes things don't line up.
So, maybe we can just talk about our relationship a little bit. The 10 years that we were together. As partners, I mean, we're still together as friends, but the 10 years we were together as partners, as intimate romantic partners, I would say we're like good years. Like, we had a really healthy relationship and a good relationship. And then what happened? You talk.
Well, do we want to read the letter?
Yeah,
and
okay.
Then that will give us some.
Here, you read it.
Some thoughts from there. Oh, I might hand it off to you. When I start crying.
Okay, that's fine. I'm here.
Okay, August 15th, 2011. Dear friends and family, Ruthie and Alex would like to share with you some of what is going on with us. The past year has been a time of transition in our relationship. We've been considering different futures. Alex feels drawn toward becoming a parent with long-term commitment in our relationship. Ruthie feels conflicted about this and has been unable to find clarity in making a decision. So for now, we feel like the best decision we can come to is to redefine our relationship so that we are not intimate life partners. Rather, we are choosing to continue to be close friends who support each other. We both hold precious our friendship and the support we give each other in both emotional and material ways, and we want to keep that. We enjoy doing things together, whether it's projects around the house, day trips, or pedal people projects. We want to continue to be close, but with different expectations in the relationship, so we can give each other the freedom we each need to make decisions about what kind of future we each want. Your turn.
Oh, there's more?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Our occasional moments of sadness may be intense, but the more consistent feelings we have are of appreciation for our special friendship and optimism about ways we can create a future we're both happy about. We're good friends, so please feel free to invite us both to things and to ask us each how the other is doing. We want to thank all of you who've given us support in one way or another in this process. We think the future holds opportunities for you there, too. Lots of love, Ruthie and Alex. Again, that was from August 15th, 2011. Now that we've read that, like, that's what do we need to do the show for? That about says it all. If it was only so easy.
Yeah. Well, we could reflect on memories from then. I mean, that was a pretty hard summer for me. I remember I think that was the summer that we built the Purlieu.
Yes.
Which is, it means a bunch of different things, but... It meant like a house on the edge of a wood. It meant a person's haunt or resort, but it was a synonym for house that just seemed to embody a building of this platform that was a covered platform, basically with open sides that we put tarps around, and it was just a space to get away. And I ended up sleeping out there a lot because we actually didn't have extra rooms in the house.
Yeah,
so. You know, we had shared a room for so many years. So that was pretty difficult to create, the physical space needed.
Yeah. Yeah. In terms of the setup of our house, like a lot of people would just move out if they break up. One person would move out. But we chose not to do that.
Yeah, I mean, four of us bought this house together, me and Ruthie, and then two others, and it's a two-family house, and moving out, this was like our
home.
It's
our house. Yeah. It's my house. It's your house. It's our house. It's like a kind of a community house, and there we had other housemates there, too. We had, like, three other housemates, right?
Yep.
And it's like, for one, it's like I'm not leaving my home just because we break up. Mm-hmm. And also it's like, well, but I still want to be friends with you too. And our breakup process was like a year long process. It was a year long process. I mean, that from the time we sort of first started feeling like things weren't going in the direction we had maybe envisioned initially till we wrote that letter. That was like, I think from August of 2014 August of 2010 to August of 2011. Mm-hmm. So it was like a slow thing where we like talked about it. So like to leave our home, like losing you as an intimate partner was hard enough. I certainly didn't want to lose my community mates too.
Yeah.
And that sense of stability and all that, the potlucks and public events and things like that we have at the house. Let's talk a little bit more about what was hard about that time. You know what? I remember that summer, the letter mentions how I couldn't decide what I wanted to do. And I just kept going like back and forth and just like, oh, I don't know. And I just remember feeling like, and I just crawl in a hole in the ground and disappear because I felt like no matter what I decided, someone was going to get hurt. There was going to be a lot of pain and I couldn't face it.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like I couldn't face it.
Yeah.
But I also remember during that time, like we talked so much. I remember my life, even though I would have these moments of intense sadness, I also felt very much alive.
Yeah. It was definitely not like any other breakup that I've ever had because of the community that was around me. You know, a lot of my past breakups, the romantic relationship felt like the stable, or the not the stable, but the thing that that kept me afloat, maybe. Mm-hmm. Or like a, you know, sort of a center of a community would have been the romantic relationship, or the person I could count on the most, let's say.
Yeah.
But at that time, and still now, there's so many other people I can count on, even though, you know, there were lots of feelings, but there were lots of people to feel them with.
Yeah.
And so that made a big difference. And that sort of, you know, constructing a community where you can meet your needs with a lot of different people just gave that base.
Yeah. Yeah, like losing you as an intimate partner was like sad, but it wasn't like devastating. I mean, most of the other pieces of my life were still intact.
Mm-hmm.
When I was biking here, I was thinking about the whole idea of being single. And one thought I had about that was, so I'm recently broken up from a relationship I was in for the last 5 years, but I don't think of myself as single. It's like I have so many community, I have so many like friends and connections. I don't feel single in any way. I feel mm-hmm. like really intertwined into the community and the neighborhood. And it's a funny term. And you know how every now and then someone puts up these signs that say singlenorthampton.com or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. I take great pleasure in pulling those out of the ground because they're put up without authorization and they bother me because they sort of play into this whole mentality of that if you're not coupled, then you're single. But there's so much more of a breadth of relationships and that we have with people. When we were talking earlier, Alex, you said you also had some other different thoughts about being single and like the challenges of like when you break up and still stay living together. It's different when you're single versus when you're seeing someone else.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
I don't know what term we want to use when you're not seeing, we don't have another partner.
Yeah.
Intimate partner.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely the times over the last 5 years when I was dating someone else were much easier to deal with the sadness of losing that. And, you know, I would still come back to sadness about that, about our relationship, you know, and that would come up most intensely when I wasn't dating anyone.
Yeah.
And yeah, I guess, you know, what is that about? Is it, I think of it as like I'm longing for something in the past. And of course, things in the past, like you, what is it that I'm longing for in the past that I don't have now? And I guess, yes, there are really real things in the past that you know, that I have when you're not dating someone that you don't have. But what I'm trying to say is that, having the person right there just gives this, you know, it's more in your face of this opportunity really to feel that sadness. And I could see a temptation of just, you know, like I just don't want to see that person anymore because of that pain. But what if you consider that pain, you know, something to move through, something that will actually help you be more present with other people, if you can feel that, if you can move through all that pain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like the sadness lasted, you know, for years, and like you say, it's always like there in your face. And then also, I think we're constantly having to redefine our relationship. It wasn't just like, okay, you break up and you're gone and you don't have to deal with a person anymore, but we have to redefine it. Like, and there's often a lingering question for me, like, well, would we ever get back together again? Do I want to ever get back together again? Is that a possibility? Is he seeing anyone else right now? Would I want that? And those kinds of questions just sort of lasted for years, mm-hmm. too, and took a while to sort through, I guess. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm Ruthie Woodring, and Alex Jarrett is here in the studio with me talking about our relationship and how it's changed over the last 15 years.
I feel like the show should be called In Here Today.
We're in here today. Yeah. One of the things Alex mentioned was community, in the sense of community at our house, as well as in the larger, in the Northampton area. That leads me to think about one of the events that's coming up at our house on Friday that everyone is invited to, right? Everyone's invited.
Yeah, it's public.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about that?
Sure. It's the band Robinson and Rowe. They're playing at our house at 8 High Street in Florence this coming Friday at 7 o'clock. And it's a Christmas concert to some extent, and solstice concert. Here, let me. I have a little flyer I can read from.
Okay. And I'm also gonna play a song by Robinson and Rowe, one of the songs that they sang last year. But lots of their songs are originals, right?
Yeah, they have originals, but they also kind of do some traditional songs in new ways.
Yeah. Okay.
Haunting melodies of old Europe, joyful sing-alongs of the southern U.S., and modern takes on the strange and ancient Christmas tale. Suggested donation, $10. No one turned away. See weatherbeard.com/show for more information. And it's entitled The Longest Winter, A Christmas Concert and Sing-Along. And the Longest Winter just doesn't sound very appealing right now. I guess it would be worse maybe at the end of the winter, but it's great music. Do you want to play one
Can
of their
play
songs
the longest
now?
Winter? How about I play The Longest Winter? Or would you suggest a different one?
Maybe the...
Burgundian Carol, Coventry Carol?
The Mary one?
Mary Had a Baby?
Yeah.
All right. This is Mary Had a Baby by Robinson and Rowe, or their version. Their version of it.
Yeah.
Traditional, yeah.
Thank you.
That was Robinson and Roe doing their version of Mary Had a Baby. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. I'm here in the studio with Alex Jarrett. We've been talking about relationships, and Alex has been playing some music. So we were talking about our relationship and being together and then breaking up and still continuing to live together, work together. And all that. We were together for like 10 years and then broke up about 5 years ago. And it's interesting, like, different terms people can use for this. Like, we actually said we were redefining our relationship. Mm-hmm. How did we come up with that term?
Don't know.
It just seemed to describe it.
Yeah.
Because we weren't breaking. Like, we weren't going anywhere.
Yeah.
We were heartbroken, but we weren't, like, separating. Other terms I've heard used are breaking up in place. I also just wanted to mention some people, like before Alex and I worked through this relationship shift, there were people that in our circle of friends who had done similar things. I'm thinking in particular about Maggie and Erica. Can you say something about their breakup process? Like, didn't they write a letter that, too?
Oh, I don't know. I don't really know that much, but I know that they stayed friends and they stayed close through that. And that was impressive.
Yeah. And then also our housemates that we had like a year or two before we broke up, they had two young children, or no, they had one young child and one on the way, and they were living with us, and they broke up in our house, but kept on living together for a while, and you know, because they had to negotiate the child and all that. That was impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And kept, you know, figured out co-parenting.
Yeah.
You know, with lots of, certainly plenty of challenges, but really kept that relationship working.
Yeah. Another thing Alex and I were talking about during the break is feeling attracted to other people and that role in an intimate partner relationship. Like during our relationship, during mine and Alex's relationship, like we sort of had this agreement that we had this expectation that we would be attracted to other people because we were like human beings. That's what we do. And that was fine. That was okay. And that, you know, in terms of how much you acted on that attraction, it was fine to, you know, hang out with people, do it, give them hugs, no kissing and no fooling around was our little rule. And also we were good about being honest with each other. Like neither of us was totally holy here, but I felt like we were both honest and we totally trusted each other.
Yeah, and we experimented with lots of different things during the time, during the years. And it's definitely changed my perception about what I want, what I'm looking for in romantic relationships. I think I've found, I have noticed that when there's someone that I'm like really attracted to, that there's some connection there to like early trauma in my life that I'm now trying to resolve, by, you know, getting close to this person, kind of an unreasonable expectation, on that person, because that person is just doing their own thing and they're just trying to, you know, fulfill their needs and maybe, you know, heal their early trauma too. And they're not, it's not actually necessarily the best person that you're actually going to be able to heal with. They could be a great person to have a good time with and be close to, but if you're trying, so you know, I found that friendship and also doing co-counseling, or which is a shared taking turns listening to each other and encouraging feelings and thinking about the other person's as like championing them, mm-hmm. you know, like really believing in them and not believing in the things that limit them. So having that structure has been a way that I felt like I've actually moved through things. And so I don't put much stock anymore in people that I feel really attracted to, mm-hmm. that as a, as something to act on. Uh-huh. So that's been an interesting, shift uh-huh. in, feeling like, oh yes, if I only had this person, this, mm-hmm. then this would be perfect. Mm-hmm. And instead just like, well, I have a lot of people and yeah. that's perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like sometimes there's people I'm attracted to madly just because there's something, there's part of them that I need to learn from or need to connect with at that time in my life. Not because they're going to be a good partner for me necessarily, but whatever it is going on right then, like I need that special connection mm-hmm. to get through something I'm dealing with. You mentioned the co-counseling. I haven't traditionally been a big co-counselor, but during the year that we were breaking up, living together and breaking up and staying living together, I did do a lot of co-counseling and I found it really helpful to just help me feel my feelings and not run away from them and not just try and distract myself. Sometimes distraction is good. And during the year that we were breaking up, we were both, I don't know if distracted is the right word, but I was certainly mm-hmm. distracted by seeing someone else. And it has its pros and its cons. Do you want to say anything about that for you?
Yeah, just that I was really trying to make a decision. Like there was that attraction to another person, but then really trying to make a decision based on thinking and what I really wanted. And, mm-hmm. and so I think, you know, that was in the letter, like talking about being interested in being a parent and wanting more commitment in the relationship, because we never actually really committed to each other. Yeah. You know, we just said, this is good. Let's stay together. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I remember when we were together for like 7 years or like 6 years, we're like, oh, when we're together for 7 years, we'll be like common law married. Maybe that'll be committed. But I remember feeling like, oh, I don't really know. I still don't really feel like I want to like commit for life. Who knows how I might change.
Uh huh.
Alex, do you want to play another song?
Yeah, sure. This is Do You Realize by The Flaming Lips, a cover of that. Do you realize, oh, that you have the most beautiful face? Do you realize, oh, we're floating in space? Do you realize, oh, that happiness makes you cry? Do you realize, oh, everyone you know someday will die? And instead of saying all of your goodbyes, let them know you realize that life goes fast. Hard to make the good things last. Realize the sun doesn't go down. Just an illusion caused by the world spinning round. Do you realize that Do you realize, oh, that everyone you know someday will die? And instead of saying all of your goodbyes, let them know you realize that life goes fast. It's hard to make the good things last. You realize the sun doesn't go down. It's just an illusion caused by the world spinning round. Do you realize, oh, that you have the most beautiful face? Do you realize?
Thanks. That was Alex Jarrett playing the Flaming Lips. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. We're going to take a little break and then maybe have some more music by Robinson and Rowe.
Join me, Dwayne Rennie, every Friday from 2 to 4. We rock down memory lane with music from the 70s. Only here on Valley Free Radio.
Drum and Bass with DJ Fife is on 8 o'clock on Saturday night. We roll from 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock on the Valley Free Radio, WXOJLP, or online at valleyfreeradio.org. Join the 8 o'clock Drum and Bass Association by listening to Drum and Bass with DJ Fife, 8 to 10 Saturday nights.
You want to learn to fix your bike? How to keep it tuned up so it's there for you when you need it? Or maybe you know already, but you just need to borrow a bike-specific tool that you don't have. Well, come to the Bike Lab.
Almost every Saturday since 2004, from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., here in Northampton at 12 Northern Avenue.
Come with your bike or your questions.
And your willing attitude.
Spare parts scavenger hunt every weekend.
Venga para el Bike Lab de Northampton y se divertirá mucho, le enseñará muchas lecciones cómo arreglar bicicletas.
All repairs guaranteed to the end of the driveway.
Details are online at pedalpeople.coop. That's the Saturday Bike Lab at 12 Northern Avenue,
11 a.m. to 2 p.m.
They say freedom isn't free, but at the Bike Lab it is.
Ya súbase a la bici, compa. Trépese a la de montaña, la bici urbana, la bici cross. Lléguele a la bicicleta, ya de menos a la eléctrica o a la estática, ya no hay tos. Llegaré pedaleando en el viaje de allá para acá. Our spirits by thine advent here. Disperse the gloomy clouds of night, and death's dark shadows put to flight. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come, shall come. To us the path of knowledge show, and cause us in her ways to go. Rejoice, 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 Emmanuel.
That was Robinson and Rowe and singing O Come Emmanuel. And this Friday, the 9th at 7 p.m. at 8 High Street in Florence, they'll be giving a concert called The Longest Winter, a Christmas concert and sing-along. And there's a suggested donation of $10, but no one is turned away. And more information, weatherbeard.com/show.
While you're mentioning the weatherbeard.com, I'll put in a little plug for weatherbeard.com for the archives of Out There, this show. You can listen to archived editions of Out There at weatherbeard.com/out there. That was a convoluted way of saying that. Sorry, I was a little distracted by the lights going on in the studio. Gene Rowe, who you just heard with Liam Robinson on that song, will also be playing a national anthem that she wrote at the end of the show before Democracy Now comes on at 5. So Alex and I had been talking about our relationship. We were partners for 10 years, like from 2001 to 2011, and then broke up between like 2010 and 2011, and have continued to live together in the same house and be good friends. We have other housemates, too. I lost my train of thought, Alex. Where are we going? We're going some direction.
Oh, so what are things like now? And what do we see in the future?
So we redefined our relationship. I guess every relationship is constantly being redefined in some way, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we redefined it in a big way 5 years ago. And yeah, things have definitely gotten a lot easier as time has gone on, for sure. And like now you're seeing somebody outside the house.
Mm-hmm.
We mentioned earlier just like the strength of community that we feel and those ties and friendships. Like, so like for me right now, in terms of what I want in the future, you know, in the past few years, there have been times when I've kind of felt like, I have a boyfriend. Alex is kind of like my husband. This other person's kind of like my boyfriend. Because you're like family. Like you're always there for me. And you're just always there for me.
Uh-huh.
And that's been really great. Really so appreciate having that stability in my life. Having chosen family that you connect with on a different level than your blood family. And in terms of the future, what do I see from my like relationships in the future? Well, I spend a lot of time going to Kentucky to see my blood family and spend time with my older parents and my younger niece and nephew, etc. So I don't know. Well, you know, one of the reasons we broke up, you wanted more like children in your life.
Yeah, and I should say something about that because, you know, I haven't had any biological children or adopted any children, but I do have an adopted niece. I've been adopted into a family unofficially adopted. Mm-hmm. And for I think 2.5 years it was, I spent a day a week with her, and I still see her and them every week. And so that really made a big difference in terms of like what I was looking for in having that,
yeah,
like a committed relationship to a child and connect that family connection. And So at this point, I kind of feel like, well, I, you know, that would probably meet my needs. I might like a little more, maybe. It can be tricky because, you know, there can be, you might want more time and that, so, you know, a bunch of different people in the family want time, but
with the child.
Yeah. And, they're all very busy people. So that can be tricky, even though there's some families where there's just an excess of time, you know, I mean, parents would wish, oh, if I had other adults I could hang out with instead of children. So just finding the right connections and relationships to meet those needs. Yeah. So yeah.
Yeah. In terms of me and family and kids, like, I love spending time with my niece and nephew. I don't know. I'm 42 and I feel like I'm pretty open. Anything could happen. So yeah, we'll see. All right, so we're gonna play the national anthem.
It's called "Arise, Arise," national anthem, and it's like a new. The idea is it's a new national anthem for the United States,
written by Gene Roe.
Yes.
Right. Oh, also another thing I want to mention is event tonight at the Parlor Room. This is Art on the Menu. It's a fundraiser for the Pioneer Valley Workers Center. Tonight, Wednesday, from 6 to 11 at the Parlor Room on Masonic Street. Come and see art that's made by restaurant workers, food service workers in Northampton, the area. Art will be for sale. And then there's also going to be, I believe, music and dancing and food. All right. Thanks for listening to Out There today. This is Jean Rowe.
To a more perfect union we aspire.